This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO on VOCM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Money with Nancy Snedden. I am Nancy Snedden. Thanks so much for tuning in today. On today's show, we're discussing the great wealth transfer. A massive amount of wealth is now changing hands and crossing generations here in Canada. And when we call it the great wealth transfer, well, it really is. It's actually estimated that $1 trillion is set to move from Canadian baby boomers to Gen X and millennial heirs between now and 2026. So that's not that far off. So for boomers and their beneficiaries, that means a lot to think about. So joining me now with advice for both is Doretta Thompson. She's a financial literacy leader and director of social impact for Chartered Professional Accountants of Canada, or CPA Canada, as you would all know. And Shilpa Mishra, partner at BDO Canada in our M&A and capital markets practice. Ladies, thanks so much for joining me today.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
So we definitely have a lot to discuss on this topic, but maybe before we jump into it, I'll ask each of you to share a little bit more about your organization and your role. So Doretta, I'll start with you.
Thanks, Nancy. So at CPA Canada, I'm the Director of Social Impact, and I am our financial literacy leader. And what we really work to do is bring plain language, straightforward financial knowledge, information to Canadians to help them make better financial decisions. And we offer a whole range of resources through our website. Plus, we have a network of about 7,000 volunteers all across Canada who deliver free financial literacy sessions on a huge range of topics.
Thanks, Doretta. And I know you've been on the show several times talking about a bunch of different topics when it comes to financial literacy. And then I'll often point people to the CPA Canada website as well, because it is a wealth of information for people out there looking for financial information, whether it's, you know, basic budgeting or credit or whatever the case may be. So, Shilpa, what can you tell our listeners about yourself?
So Nancy, thank you for having me on the show. So as you said at the start of the hour, I'm a partner in BDO's M&A and capital markets practice, and I am also the national leader for BDO's capital advisory practice. And what we do in M&A is we are advisors who assist clients to buy and sell businesses. We are just late breaking news. We are the number one global M&A advisor across the mid-market and the upper mid-market. Our practice also assists clients with private placements of equity and debt raises. Or as I say, in addition to selling businesses, buying businesses, we also help clients to find the money. What's very exciting about my job is that I work with mid-size and large-sized businesses and business owners who are first generation. They build their businesses from scratch against all odds. And so as we sell their businesses, help them buy businesses or find the money, we're always advocating for our clients. In addition to my role in M&A and capital markets, I also lead an exciting service line at BDO called Women Driving Growth. We at BDO Canada are the first accounting firm to bring a service line like Women Driving Growth to market. And this is a service line for women, by women, where BDO is looking to be the top advisor of choice for all women leaders and power women across the country.
Yeah, I love that, Shilpa. I think it's exciting, right, that we're at the forefront of something like that. And especially when we talk about the great wealth transfer, and I know we'll get into this later in the show, but there are a lot of women out there, right, that are transferring wealth over that period of time. And it is a massive financial shift that's taking place in Canada right now, as some of the youngest baby boomers turn 60 this year, and the oldest approach 80. The greatest intergenerational wealth transfer is now in motion. So between now and 2026, as I said off the top, it's expected that over $1 trillion of wealth is going to transfer. So before we get into the specifics, maybe let's talk about this and what it's really going to mean for the country's economic landscape. So Shilpa, what are your thoughts on this?
You're right. This is the single largest event that is facing our economy. And because I work in M&A and financing, I'd like to talk about the intergenerational wealth transfer more from a passing down of the business and the key issues that we see as we either assist owners to raise debt for a shareholder buyout by their children, or we assist owners to pass down the business from to their children. All right. So as you said, there's a large number of founders, owners of Canadian family enterprises that are looking to retire. And when deciding the right path forward, as owners look to pass the business on to the next generation, there's really four or five key issues that owners have to look to and discuss with their children, right? The first thing is the appetite for debt. We are seeing this consistently, Nancy. The next generation has a higher appetite for debt versus, you know, the founders that established the businesses. And this is really because the next generation has seen the era of very low interest rate, but the owners lived through, you know, the era of foreclosures in 2008, 2009. So it's very, very important for owners and their children as they pass this down to talk about this. There's another key area, which is ESG. We're seeing different views on environmental, social, governance matters between owners and the next generation, where the next generation of business owners are typically willing to invest a lot more to make sure the business aligns from an overall ESG perspective. The third point is around views of technology, right? Owners set up their businesses, they sort of patch everything together, they make it work, they make it grow. The next generation is really looking to invest in technology to automate, leverage AI, and use technology as they add efficiencies to processes. And then finally, it's really about, as owners pass businesses down to their children, it's managing the diverging perceptions of roles and responsibilities. The next generation, you know, the founders were involved every day, going in there, you know, the people that came in at 6 a.m., left at midnight, and the next generation has a different view, where they see themselves more or less involved in the company's operations, more strategic, but still want to have input into decisions, but they want to be investors, expecting those distributions. So as we look at the next generation, the transfer of wealth, these are some key issues that need to be considered by owners and their families.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to consider. And I can say, you know, what you're saying about the next generation being more inclined to take on debt or more open to taking on debt than the generation before, I see that. And I think it's because that generation has grown up in a very low interest rate environment, right? Where credit has been relatively cheap, right? In comparison to what the older generation would have seen as they came up through. So we see that even in our client base, in the insolvency practice, right, that there's larger amounts of debt that people are carrying at younger ages than what we would have seen in the past. So it's definitely interesting. And Dred, I was reading an article put out by CPA Canada that cites a recent Manulife investment survey. And the survey found that the pandemic spurred around 1 in 5 respondents to review their estate plans and or update their wills. And of those who already had a will or estate plan, 28% are increasingly discussing it with an advisor or their inheritors. So my first thought after reading this was there's not enough open dialogue, I think, between families about how wealth will be passed down and what's to be done with it. So what are your thoughts, Dreda? Do more family discussions need to take place?
Yes, I do think more discussions need to take place. And it's really hard because death and taxes are the two big taboos, death and estates, etc. I think that at a macro level, what we're seeing is a gap between rich and poor continuing to widen. And at a micro level, this is really about your wishes and your intentions being really understood well by your family. And if that is to happen, I think the thing to do is to think about it as the biggest gift that you can give your family is clarity around what your wishes are. It's not just about super rich families. If you've got assets, you know, whether it's your home, your cottage, your savings, life insurance, to pass on, if you want to leave money to charity, you need to have a plan for your family. It's kind of your final gift to them. And discussions with family so they really understand that is, I think, incredibly important and will make it easier in the long run because we're really talking about what's going to happen after you're gone and that period of grief, etc. So the more prepared you can have your family be, the kinder it will be in the long run.
No, I couldn't agree more. Like, we talk about the importance of talking about finances with your family, you know, as you go through life. That doesn't change, right, in preparations for what's going to happen next, right, when you're gone, especially if you're in an environment where you do have some wealth that is looking to transfer. So, Shilpa, I want to hear from you on this too, but we have to go to break. So when we come back, I'd love for you to talk a little bit about why you feel people are reluctant to have these discussions. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of Your Money with BDO's Nancy Snedden. Listen live Saturdays at 3 p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 p.m.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada, right here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Joining me today is Doretta Thompson. She's a financial literacy leader and director of social impact for CPA Canada. And Shilpa Mishra, she's a partner at BDO Canada with our M&A and capital markets practice. So we've been talking about the largest intergenerational wealth transfer in Canadian history. It's now underway. And before the break, we were starting to talk about, you know, the dialogue that's necessary between families when it comes to how wealth is going to be passed down. So, Shilpa, I'd love to hear from you on this. Why do you feel people are so reluctant to have these discussions about the level of wealth and how this wealth will be passed down and what's to be done with it?
And it's really this reluctance that led to the M&A boom in 2021 and 2022, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But it's really the root of the failure comes from a lack of true communication between generation. And this inability, unfortunately, despite it being in the family, to see the other person's perspective. So specifically, you know, the older generation is really concerned about making sure the business survives beyond them, right? Making sure the business provides them with retirement income and really making sure their son, their daughter, they do a great job and informing their legacy for the future. But the younger generations has a whole other different set of concerns, right? Like, will my parents actually let me run the business? Is this what I really want to do with my life? Or do I want to go do mergers and acquisitions at BDO, right? And what if I screw this up? And what about my brothers and sisters? How are they going to react? And this potential strain around expectations and potential conflict is what leads to the difficulty in having the conversation, right? So we as advisors, whenever we get involved in a sell side, we're always following that business for about a year. And we're always encouraging owners and their children to have the conversation. And what we find is it just comes down to simple family dynamics and a simple, you know, mismatch of expectations. And like it or not, most owners are no longer passing businesses down to their children and looking to sell to an outside party.
And it's interesting you're saying that because past research, in fact, does show that nearly 3 in 5 at 60% of wealthy Canadians are not confident in their children's ability to preserve and grow their inheritance. So 1/3 at 32% of high net worth Canadians have fears about how their heirs will handle their inheritance. Nearly 1/4 at 20% fear their children won't be able to pass anything down to their own children. And just over 1/3 at 36% say their children don't have the financial literacy or acumen to manage a potential windfall. And finally, only 1 in 5 at 19% say that they have introduced their children to their financial advisor. And about the same at 18% have taken them to a planning meeting with the agent managing their money. So, Doretta, are you surprised at all by these survey results? And what is your response to the concerns revealed in the survey?
It's, you know, the surveys of high net worth Canadians, I'm not sure it's all that different, or it may even be a little bit better than if you looked at Canadians in general. But no, it doesn't particularly surprise me that, you know, money is a really hard thing to talk about. And, you know, it's, you know, Nancy, the work we've been doing for a long time is to try to make these discussions happen, make these things happen. It really doesn't surprise me about not introducing them to their financial advisors. A lot of people, you know, of that of the boomer generation, which in full disclosure is my generation, were really brought up not to talk about money and are not always comfortable talking about it with their children. And I think those discussions can really expose any kind of fissures or communications issues, as we're just talking about, in the family dynamics. So it's not just about the dynamics around businesses changing hands, family-owned businesses changing hands. It's actually as simple as a family cottage changing hands or how it moves on. So I think the thing is that basic need for demystifying money, for putting it on the agenda and getting clarity around it is going to benefit everybody in the long run, but it may be super uncomfortable in the short term.
Yeah, I agree. I think that certain generations, it is hard to talk about this, no matter how little or much money that you actually have. It has just been a taboo subject. It's not something you talk about with others. And that is how many people grew up. I think it's interesting that the research shows the near majority of wealthy Canadians favor maintaining the relationship with their advisory firm who's managed their wealth. So when you look at that, and the research shows that they want to maintain the relationship, it's interesting that they're not making that introduction, or the survey is showing they're not making that introduction. So, Shilpert, does that make sense? Can you share the financial benefits of continuing this relationship?
So I have to give you an interesting statistic, Nancy. As we generally go ahead and sell businesses, a lot of our leads come through, you know, our audit and our tax partners, because they have that relationship. And it's always beneficial to make sure that, you know, your advisor that's been a part of your family, your planning, your accounting, is the one that's continuing to be involved as you pass the business on to the next generation, either through a sale to an external party or, you know, or passing it on to your children. What's interesting is a significant portion of businesses are being sold by net new advisors. And you know, Nancy, I'm going to be honest. I think we haven't cracked the code as to why that's happening. Ultimately, it's always beneficial to stick to your advisor, work with them, help them to be involved in the transition because they know your business best. But we are seeing that trend to be changing.
Well, I want to sort of shift gears a little bit here. And, you know, although research shows that currently it is men who are the lead financial investment decision makers, I think by 2026, which is only 2 years out, it's estimated that 47% of women will directly control personal wealth, as the number of women who are single, divorced, or widowed continues to grow, and baby boomer women continue to outlive their spouse. So let's talk about this, because I know this is something that you're pretty passionate about. How will this change dynamics going forward? And also the importance of women having a voice in their family's financial decisions and estate planning.
I'm extremely passionate about this, so I'm going to try my best now to stick to time. But I just want to talk, this is a very interesting conversation. And the reason we started Women Driving Growth, which is, you know, having an all-woman team of advisors working with women leaders, was we had a CEO, a conference in 2021 with our women clients and our women partners, and all our women clients said the exact same thing, which was shocking to us, Nancy, which is that they were not getting the same level of service from their advisors as their male counterparts. So we said, it's a no-brainer. Let's launch this service line. And what's interesting is, as we've done the work, we've done a lot of analysis and we've gone out there and we're seeing that women run businesses in all economic sectors. You would think that women are just running businesses in, you know, in retail or food. Not true. Women are leading businesses in construction, manufacturing, finance, transportation. So they are a key segment of the economy that needs to be focused on. But what's an interesting stat stat is 94% of women believe their economic power is being underestimated. And I think you and I can both agree, and we have a hunch that Beyonce, Oprah, and Taylor Swift would agree, right? Like every day out there, you know, Taylor Swift is a billionaire, but I'm never really hearing that. It's all about these other things, right? Same with Beyonce. But the key issue is that, as you said, women are outliving men. And currently, in addition to people significantly underestimating how much women's economic power is set to grow through the great wealth transfer, we are also not prepared for the seismic changes that it could usher in, right? Changes for women, of course, but for everyone who does business with women, whose customers are women, who's funded by women, who has raised women, who's related to women, this needs to be kept in mind, right? So the great wealth transfer has the potential to reshape our society and our society belief about women and wealth, because whether they're about to be the recipient of a financial windfall, right? So what will we call this newfound phase of economic power? And this is what I love. We in our firm, we call it the feminization of wealth. So really, you know, but the challenge that women find is that with these financial windfalls, they don't have the financial support they need. Just 38% of women say they have a financial advisor who will help them navigate this windfall. When women do reach out to the wealth management industry, and this is the shocking stat, the majority of them, 65%, say they want to work with a woman financial advisor, but they don't see themselves reflected in the investment management space, right? So what this means for us as advisors, all of us as advisors, we need to make sure our teams are equally represented with men and women so we can better address our clients' needs. As we go out and we're talking to our clients, we need to make sure we're talking to the women in the room, whether it be spouses, wives, women owners, sisters, whatever, as much as we are talking to the men. And it's really these two simple steps that can help us not only gain market share, but ensure we have a client-centric approach in our work.
No, I love that. And it's interesting, right, that when you quote some of those statistics, I'm not sure that people would recognize those stats without them being pointed out, right? That 90% of women aren't seeing themselves there. So, but we know that there is so many women out there in all these industries, and it is a significant part of the wealth transfer that's going to happen. One of the most important things I think about any wealth transfer is making sure that for your heirs, they are getting the most benefit possible from that transfer. And that means paying the least tax possible. So we're going to talk a bit about that when we come back. Please stay with us.
The Tim Power Show. Join the conversation weekday afternoons at 4 p.m. on your VOCM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada, right here in Newfoundland and Labrador. And I'm joined today by Doretta Thompson. She's the financial literacy leader and director of social impact with CPA Canada. And Shilpa Mishra, she's a partner of BDO Canada in our M&A and capital markets practice. So we're talking today about the largest intergenerational wealth transfer in Canadian history. It's now underway and expected to really ramp up into 2026, which is not that far away. So there's been a lot written on this subject about how affluent Canadians need to prepare for this transfer of wealth. And before the break, we talked about some concerns expressed by wealthy Canadians regarding their transfer of wealth. We also talked about the importance of having the money talk with family members about your wishes. And while talking about it is important, so too is estate planning. So I want to talk a little bit about this now. Doretta, why is it so important to do this estate planning?
I think the most important thing is to ensure that your wishes are carried forward, are well understood, your intentions are understood for the benefit of your loved ones whom you're leaving behind. It's also really important from a tax perspective to really minimize the taxes so that as much of your estate passes on as possible. And it is also the opportunity to provide some kind of protection, particularly if you have beneficiaries who may have special needs in the future, children having launched, for example, disabled children. So there are very specific strategies that you can use to ensure that as much of your wealth as possible does in fact end up in the hands of your beneficiaries in exactly the way you want it to, and to really minimize any potential conflict, etc., so that it doesn't break or hurt the family afterwards, which is why it's, I think, really important to think about, to think in a really positive way about this last gift that you're making your family, which is the kind of security and also just a kind of peace of mind, because the period following your death is going to be a very challenging one for your loved ones.
No, for sure. And I think, you know, if we think about the transfer of wealth and the estate planning, part of it, as we talked about just before the break, is minimizing that tax impact so that your heirs are actually getting the most benefit, right? And I guess even if it's not, you know, after your death, even the transfer of wealth while you're living, right, to your kids and your family, you still want to look at the tax planning that you can do to make sure you're minimizing the tax impact. And I know, Doretta, CPA Canada does have some tips for reducing the tax impact for your heirs. So can you talk a little bit about that?
And I think this is very big picture. It would definitely put in the context that every situation is different, and it is never more important than to really get professional advice on this. But the basic kind of approaches you can use to reduce taxes. I mean, first of all, as you mentioned, is gifting assets while you're still alive. And there are whole benefits around that, and just the joy of seeing your family do it, for example. But there are also some caveats. You know, gifts of capital property can make taxes payable in your hands. And the other thing is make sure, and we do hear about this, that you are not endangering your own well-being and your own financial security and retirement. Another, really straightforward strategy is naming direct beneficiaries on registered accounts, because that really, it means, generally speaking, they don't go through the company. So it can be very much more straightforward. There are ways to rule registered plans to dependent children, working with your advisors is really important here. If you have a disabled child, there is also the ability for things like Hansen Trust. So there are lots of ways to look at tax planning strategies, but the most important thing is really to get professional advice on this, because there are potential issues around taxation of shares, how you pass them on, whether you're passing gifts to your grandchildren instead of your children, all of that kind of thing. So professional advice is incredibly important.
No, I couldn't agree more. And we talk about that on the show all the time, right? It is that, you know, there's people who specialize in, you know, many areas of finance. And it's really important that you're reaching out to get the best advice. Like, you can do research online, but only a professional advisor can really take it to the level that is personalized to you, right? And talk about the impacts to you and your family based on the situation that you find yourself in. And I think also important to get some great legal advice, right? When it comes to wills and power of attorney and like all those things that can come along with this wealth transfer. So, Shilpa, I'd like to hear from you on this now. Like, when, from an M&A perspective, so if it is a business that is looking at transferring, like that's the sort of transfer of wealth. And Doretta talked about, you know, the transfer of shares and some implications that come with that. So what can you tell our listeners about that? What's important for them to know?
Thank you for asking me about M&A and the great wealth transfer. What I'd like to start by saying is that all of us M&A deal makers have been on a wild roller coaster ride from the pandemic fueled, I would say, drought in 2020 to 2021's record breaking recovery, where those of us that have worked in M&A never saw that kind of M&A in our lifetime, and followed by the steep decline in 2023. So, you know, the M&A market for all of us that have worked in it has been a masterclass in volatility, and it is the intergenerational transfer wealth that has created this. So what happened in 2021 was, with business owners looking to retire, not having had those difficult conversations around transitioning, they decided they were going to sell their businesses. And that was primarily driven by the Canadian mid-market, which is where we specialize. And then we saw the frenzy. Then there was a lack of affordable money in the past 12 months that led to the decline in M&A. So looking forward, if there is a business owner that's looking to sell, there's one key item that needs to be kept in mind. It's all about a flight to quality. There is still $3.4 trillion of dry powder or private equity money available in the market, and private equity, or PE as we call it, they're ready to deploy. And they're interested in Southern Ontario businesses, because every day, Nancy, I get a call from a private equity fund in the U.S. that wants to buy a business in Southern Ontario. So really, as sellers are looking to sell their businesses, they have to focus on the quality, because there's a few things we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of buyers conduct a lot of upfront diligence. We're seeing, and that's taking, you know, deals like in 2021, deals will close in two weeks. Now they're taking 6 months, right? Right now, buyers are less willing to put cash up front. They want more complicated structures where they see how the business performs and then they pay the full price. Business owners have to continue to stay involved. You know, there's things that we're seeing around purchase price being held back, you know, unless the revenue stays stable. So as business owners look to sell, it's just as challenging to sell to an outside buyer as potentially to pass the business on to your children. So I would say to anyone listening right now, this is the right time to have the conversation either with your advisor around selling your business or with your children to transition. Because right now, Nancy, I'm working with a business in the death funeral industry. The owner died, passed on the business to the children. Nobody was prepared. And that's exactly the kind of thing that you don't want.
No, absolutely. And I think that's a good segue into our topic around living inheritances, right? Like, it doesn't need to be that this is something that you're setting up, you know, in death, right? That it's something that's going to pass on when you pass on. It's important to have those conversations if it's something that, you know, you can prepare for your own retirement, right? By having these conversations about living inheritances. So, Doretta, maybe I'll start with you on this topic. What is your advice to those considering a living inheritance? And for those who like to give a living inheritance, but want it spread out maybe over time, would it make sense to look at something like an annuity or a trust?
It might. And I think, again, this is when it's really important to get professional advice. The rules around trusts, et cetera, can vary, and you want to be sure that your purpose is really clear. You also want to make sure that the people responsible for administering the trust, that you've made good decisions there. You may even want to consider a protector in some cases to make sure that the trustees are administering the trust in a responsible way. And these are the kinds of areas where, you just can't underestimate how important professional advice is. I would say that, again, it's really important that you understand what you are doing, what you are giving up, that what you no longer control once you do this, protecting your own financial security, and also understanding that capital gains, et cetera, may well fall to your responsibility. So there is, on the one hand, the joy of seeing your family enjoy these things in your lifetime, especially if this is clearly resources of which you have no, that you don't need for your own well-being. But again, financial advice, lawyer, planners, tax, etc.
Yeah, Jordan, I think that is really great advice, right? We always want to be talking about what could happen, what is the best approach with a professional who is an expert in that field. So like you said, whether it's a financial planner, a tax expert, someone in M&A, like a Shilpa, if it's a business you're looking to transfer. So when you're seeking the guidance of a third party professional to ensure that your wishes are being filled, whether it's, you know, in death or whether it's in a living inheritance, how do you decide who that should be? We're going to talk about that when we come back. Please stay with us.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of VOCM Open Line. Listen live weekday mornings at 9 a.m.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada, right here in Newfoundland and Labrador. My guests today are Doretta Thompson. She's the financial literacy leader and director of social impact with CPA Canada, and Shilpa Mishra, partner with BDO Canada in our M&A and capital markets practice. So we're talking about the great wealth transfer. And at the top of the show, we touched on the importance of communicating with family members and being open about what your wishes are. So for those who have accumulated great wealth during their lifetime, this can become an even bigger challenge for many reasons. You know, it could be the number of assets that they're holding, the value of those assets. What are the tax implications? Who should be the beneficiaries? What's the best way to set this up? What if you have a blended family? So I want to talk a little bit more about that now. So what will happen after you're gone, as we've been discussing, can be uncomfortable for all concerned, right? For parties on both sides. But as difficult as it may be, planning needs to happen before a wealth transfer or inheritance occurs to ensure that your final wishes are honored and in the best way possible for those concerned. So when it comes to approaching an important decision, we've talked about the importance of getting a third-party professional involved, right? Someone whose expertise, understanding of all the different perspectives can help you make the most of the conversation, of the things that will happen as a result of those conversations. So, Shilpa, what advice do you have for listeners when it comes to considering a third-party professional or an executor?
As our clients look to transition the business to the next generation, or as they look to sell, what we always tell them is it's extremely important to assemble the right team. It's important to have the right team around you to help you achieve your goals, right? And what is the right team? It's your accountant, because they're going to help you prepare the financials, potentially help you with projections, help with diligence. If you're selling to an outside party, you need a lawyer, right, to help you with the business transition, help you understand the law. What people don't realize, they also need a business valuator to help them maximize the value of the business. They need to be in touch with their bankers, because they're going to need debt, either their children or in some way. You know, these days, no one's buying a business at 100% of the value, so they're going to need some level of debt. They're going to need to talk to a commercial real estate agent if there's real estate involved. So the easiest way to manage all this is you can have a certified M&A professional who can manage the process end to end and can manage the process with all of your advisors. And it's important to try and have those conversations with your children to say, are you going to, how you're going to transition the business, or if you're going to sell? Because what you also have to do is, if you are looking to sell your business, you have to find a way to make sure its value continues to increase, right? So as you look to sell your business, you have to make sure the profits stay high, you know, even a year, 2 years before sale, because right now buyers are looking at 2 years past and 2 years future as they buy businesses, right? You're going to have to make sure your margins stay profitable. Right now, it's all about margins, not just top line revenue, but margins. And you're going to make sure that there's a strategic plan and a strong management team in place, because as buyers look to buy businesses, or even as your children look to take over the business, they're also going to need help. They need to see that one level below management, below the CEO, to be strong. So it's very important to have that team in place to help you to transition the business either to your children or successfully, ramp up the value if you're looking to sell.
No, I love that. It is more complex than sometimes people may think about, right? So they think, well, I have an accountant and they'll be able to handle a lot of this, but it goes beyond just your accountant, right? There's other important relationships that you need to be considering. And maybe it's someone that your accountant is going to connect you with if you need legal advice or something like that. They may be your overall business advisor, but there's going to be other people and other parties that need to come into the mix when it comes to that professional advice. So, Doretta, I want to talk to you about executors, because many will appoint an executor to their estate. It may be a friend or family members, but there's also professional executors, right, that can be put in place if you have, you know, for example, a more complex estate. So what can you tell our listeners about the importance of an executor and maybe, you know, really ensuring they understand what that entails and if they should be considering a professional executor?
I've heard financial planners say that if somebody asks you to become an executor, feel very honored and then say no. because it is a huge responsibility. And you can actually be held liable for some of the decisions that you make, which is something that people don't necessarily understand. So I think the idea of hiring a appointing a professional executor has some real benefits, especially if there's, you know, say among your family, no one that really has the expertise, the time, et cetera, to manage your estate, especially if it's a complex estate. There are also some things you need to consider. Trust companies, for example, can be appointed executors. You also want to be very sure that things are set up in such a way that it's not in the executor's best interest that things extend over a long period of time. So again, it comes back to the selection of your advisors. I mean, she's just given us some very good advice on the corporate side or if you're selling a business, etc. But the selecting of your advisors is just as important on the personal side. It's not, you know, accountant and lawyer who are the ones who have a fiduciary responsibility to you. But there are other advisors like investment advisors, estate planners, an insurance advisor. You want to be very clear on your goals and your expectations and choose your advisors wisely. And make sure that you understand exactly what their responsibility is to you, how they are paid, and what their track record is in terms of fulfilling these roles. I think it's extremely important that there's clarity around that as well. We talked earlier about how many people have never introduced their children to their financial planners, for example, or their advisors, and that doesn't. It doesn't really surprise me because those relationships are those advisor relationships are based on trust. And so you've formed these really strong personal relationships or professional relationships with your advisors. That doesn't necessarily mean that your children or your beneficiaries will. So you want to be sure that that there is absolute clarity around your intention. And I think also the idea of a professional executor can take some of the weight off the shoulders of your beneficiaries and also try to mitigate any really difficult challenges that there are likely to be between them and them.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. Like, there are definitely some benefits to looking at someone as a professional executor versus someone who's, you know, part of the family or friend or has relationships within, I guess, the circle of ears that may be part of the estate, right? Like, we hear oftentimes about feuds after someone passes, right? And if there's a history or the possibility of conflict, for example, among the heirs, having that neutral third party to diffuse potential disputes is something that can go a long way. Well, ladies, it's been great having you on the show today. You've had some great advice for our listeners. We do have some time now for some final thoughts. So, Doretta, maybe I'll start with you. If you could leave our listeners with a final piece of advice today, what would it be?
think it's to see estate planning as your final gift to the clients and to take the time to share it with them and to understand that what you're doing is leaving a legacy that is not just financial, but also personal in terms of caring for them sort of beyond the grave. I think that's the most important thing that you can do to support them through a very good.
That's great. And we talked a little bit during the show about some resources that CPA Canada has on this subject. If people wanted more information, what's the best way for them to get that?
You can go to our website, which lists all our resources at www.cpacanada.ca/financial-literacy. And I would call out a couple of specific things that may be useful to people. We have a podcast series on tough talks about money that can really help you get those difficult conversations started. We do have resources around raising money smart kids, which can get people starting to prepare their kids early. We do have a book in our publication series called The Last Act, Closing the Book on Your Finances, which I think has a lot of really helpful tips.
That's great. Well, thanks again for joining me today. And Shilpa, if you could leave our listeners with a final piece of advice today, what would it be?
Everything, you know, as my mother used to say, everything in life is about one thing, Nancy, and that's money. Right? Everything in life is about money. And right now, the challenge facing the capital markets, facing business owners as they transition, is finding affordable money at the right structure for themselves, right? But so every quarter, I put out a quarterly debt report where I look at the state of the market. And one very key point that I think we all have, you know, are missing right now is the question that I asked, which is, where is my recession, right? So despite the pressures in 23 and 24, the economy has defied logic and avoided what we call a technical recession, right? This past year, we've seen the implementation of the steepest rate hikes in decades, which has led to increased housing costs, elevated prices, slowdown in retail activity. But despite this, upper mid-market businesses continue to grow their revenue. But the reason I share this is, as business owners either look to sell or transition, the key item they need to focus on beyond revenue, as I said earlier, is margins. So what is their, you know, their revenue minus their expenses? What is that income? And right now, we're seeing a lot of business owners seeing a crunch in that, driven primarily by high financing costs, high input costs. And all of this, along with the hesitation of the Canadian financial institutions to lend, has created a crunch in the capital markets around money, right? So the thing for every business owner to remember as they look to either transition or to sell is that right now the banks are being conservative, rightly so, because it's that caution that has led to, you know, stability in our economy, and there hasn't been a collapse like the Silicon Valley Bank, but the banks are being conservative. You know, if you look at growth in lending by the banks in, let's say, 21 to 22 in the frenzy, it was about almost 20% year-over-year growth, and now it's down to 5%, and on a quarter-over-quarter basis, it's almost flat. So right now, as business owners are looking at their businesses and looking to transition, it's very important for them to focus on proper cash flow forecasting, strong financial management, finding a way to make sure that costs are maintained either through economies of scale or adding technology. And it's very, very important for them to make sure that their business continues to stay profitable during these uncertain times.
That's some really great advice, Shilpa. If people wanted to reach out for more advice, wanted to have a conversation, what's the best way for them to do that?
So we put out BDO Canada's quarterly debt report. They can just Google that and that comes up, and we share stats, solutions, and contact details there. I'm very active on LinkedIn. I'm a social media influencer, so they can easily find me on LinkedIn or on BDO Canada's website. If they want information on Women Driving Growth, we do some great work. We publish quarterly articles. We just launched our Accelerate Her webcast. And Nancy, we're going to want you on our webcast, of course, where we have, you know, know, power women from our firm talking to power women in the market, so they can easily find that webcast. And we have an entire page on BDO Canada's website dedicated to women driving growth. And our next article is really going to be around the feminization of wealth. And so we're very excited to be able to share that in the next couple of months.
That's great. Thanks so much. And of course, I always want to hear from you, our listeners. If you have a comment or question, or maybe a topic that you'd like me to discuss here on Your Money, you can email me at yourmoney@bdo.ca or give me a call at 800-563-8337. Until next week, I'm Nancy Snedden. Stay safe and be well, everyone.
If you have a question or comment, send an email to yourmoney@bdo.ca. This has been Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. Licensed Insolvency Trustees on your VOCM.